Okay, Erev Tov. First, want to welcome a special guest to the shiur tonight, my father. Thank you so much for coming. This is the second time ever in his life in Eretz Yisrael, and he's been here so far for about a week. And I appreciate a lot your attitude towards Hachzakas HaTorah and Avas Eretz Yisrael, even though you haven't been here so much. The amount of your emotional support, idea of in terms of what your view is of towards Torah, especially Eretz Yisrael, is definitely much appreciated. In addition, I wanted to also dedicate that tonight's shiur should be l'schus refuah shleima for Itai Yaakov ben Tzipora. Itai Rimmel is a 9-year-old boy from Neve Tzuf, and about a couple months ago, his family was driving back on a Motzei Shabbos by Givat Zev, and there was another car that was an Arab that was driving a car, an 18-year-old Arab that supposedly was testing out his new vehicle and was driving about 150 miles an hour and collided straight into that car with that family, killing the mother and the three-month-old baby, paralyzing the father waist down. And the boy, Itai, who had the privilege of visiting last night in the ICU in Shaare Tzedek Hospital, he's been there for quite a while, and it's not so posh. I mean, we have hope and faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam that he'll bring him a refuah shleima. But it was definitely a powerful experience last night seeing him. The only thing a person can do, so the boy, he's sitting there in the intensive care unit, he can just move his head back left and right and really open and close his eyes and breathe a little bit. And it's a certain appreciation leaving there. I just have a certain appreciation for any one of my bodily functions which the Ribbono Shel Olam gives to me. So the shiur tonight should be b'schuto, that they should have a refuah shleima and a speedy recovery. Okay, so tonight in Parshas Bashalach, I wanted to open up with one idea that actually takes place towards the end of this week's parsha. We know how this week's parsha unfolds. Bnei Yisrael heads out of Mitzrayim. then they end up having Kriyas Yamsuf, which we're going to speak about a little later tonight, and then after Kriyas Yamsuf they happen to be in the desert, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, after they think everything's all said and done, and they're going to be living in peace and tranquility, all of a sudden they have Amalek breathing down their backs, and they're about to attack them. So what happens? Moshe realizes, and what does he do? Says the Pasuk Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tes, Vayomer Moshe El Yoshua, Bechar Lanu Anashim V'tzei Lachem Bamalek. Let us choose men. Let us start drafting for us. Let us start recruiting for us. Men in order to fight. And Rashi in the spot comments, what exactly is pshat in Bachar Lanu? Let's choose for us. Yoshua, go out there and choose for us. Li v'lecha, for me and for you. Hishvo lo. Moshe was equating his primary disciple, his star Talmud, Yoshua ben Nun. He was equating himself to. He was bringing him up to his level. He felt that they were equals. And Mikan. Right, Rashi continues. Mikan Amru Chacham say in Pirkei Avos, Yehi Kvod Talmidecha Chaviv Alecha Kishelcha, that the kavod of your talmidim should be so chaviv that you should honor them as if you're on the level of yourself, and this is a tremendous chiddush. That all of a sudden, we know many ideas. There's the famous idea of more rabbi kimor shemayim, kavod rabbo. That a talmid has to give such great kavod to his rebbe. But you know, all of a sudden, from here, and there's Pirkei Avos. There's this other. It actually works vice versa. Also, that there's a special chiyuv for the Rebbe to give the Talmud. And Rav Yeruchim Lubavitz asks, what in the world is going on here? Why all of a sudden are Talmidim all of a sudden deserving of this extra kavod more than they're actually you know worthy for? To a certain extent, you guys come to the shir every week. There's a certain sense, you know, that I at a certain time try to teach over, try to give over some Torah. There's the name of Talmidecha. To a certain extent, you guys are my Talmidim. So genuinely speaking, I owe you guys a great amount of kavod. You may have thought that the kavod was coming tonight with my dad here. I was going to, you know, try to just bring it, you know, a bunch of food and hot food or sushi or whatever. That could be why a lot of guys are here, but sorry. So the answer is as follows, says Rav Yeruchim Lubavitz. He explains that inherently, as it is to begin with, it's very hard to give kavod. Even to give the basic amount of kavod, to give the amount of kavod in which each and every person, let's say, is fit for in his own way. So therefore, Chazal went out of its way and demanded from the Rabbanim to give extra kavod. To give extra kavod to other people. Everyone should be giving each other extra kavod. More than that which they're deserving. Why? Because as it is, it's super hard to give kavod. So at least if this is the bar of how much kavod, you know, a person is supposed to give, and he's unable to, you know, reach that bar, he'll end up here. Okay, that's exactly where you were supposed to be. That's the exact amount of kavod which you're supposed to be giving anyways. So therefore, you know, you'll be able to fulfill those demands in terms of giving kavod to someone else. But the question that I want to focus on is my own question, is that why in the world is it so hard to be mechabit someone else? Why is it so hard to give someone else kavod? This is all the Musar Svarim always speaks about, you know, kavod, you know, running away from your own kavod, but giving kavod to others, giving kavod to your parents, giving kavod to your rebbeim, giving kavod to your friends, giving kavod to strangers, giving kavod even to a certain extent to non-Jews in order to make a kiddush Hashem. Why do we got to stress so much about the kavod? And why is it that when we focus on kavod, we mention it's so hard? It's a lot of scarf you can give kavod. Why? It's so hard. Why? Because it's very difficult. Well, what exactly is the issue that people struggle with sometimes about giving each other kavod? So the answer I want to bring down is from Rav Volbe, who explains, you have to define this and say, you know, we'll get a little lumdish here. In the world of kavod, in the olam kavod, there's two dinim, tzvei dinim. One is the dinim in pratim, all the specific dinim. It's usher to embarrass a friend in public. It's usher to speak lashon hara. All the don'ts, all the isurim, are written out very clearly for us. It's black and white. These are the don'ts. Don't do this and don't do that. Regarding those areas, Baruch Hashem, we are good. I generally think we're holding at a good place. There's specific halachos in which we're supposed to abide by, and us Jews, we know the rules. We know that this is what we're not supposed to do, so don't do it. However, there's another aspect of kavod, and that's called the ma'asim l'chabed, the actual actions that a person is supposed to do in order to honor the other, his fellow Jew. And those things aren't so defined. We don't have a Shulchan Aruch of Dinei Kavod L'Acherim, Dinei Kavod L'Talmidim, Gafta Recha Kamocha. It's such a broad statement. The Rishonim, Achronim, everyone likes to weigh in on what they feel really, really. What is that pshat of Gafta Recha Kamocha? Or giving kavod, but it's unclear. It's not really written beforeish. What exactly is the aspect of positively honoring another one, positively, you know, in a positive way, giving kavod to others. Therefore, since it's not so defined, it's much harder to actually give kavod to other people. Okay, so what else am I supposed to do? First of all, I don't know exactly how I'm supposed to be mechabe, my other friend. I don't even know what my friend feels in terms of what am I supposed to do towards him in order for him to feel mechubad. So when you have those two factors together, it just puts us at a stalemate. For us, it's unclear exactly how to be mechabit someone else. We find this right by other mitzvahs, like right. Already, people start to, you know, when there's a special Indian, like people like to be medactic in mitzvahs. I like to you know, do everything exactly. Mahadrim and a mahadrim. This is the way to do the mitzvah. This amount of shear. This type of material. We're very, very medactic. By other mitzvahs, right? Why are we able to be so medactic? Because the rules are all set out for us. We know in halakha, in Shulchan Aruch, we know what the bidyevit is. We know what the lechachila is. We know what the hider mitzvah is. We know on the different levels. So it's just up to you in terms of what path you want to take, what selection you want to take, what types of how you going to do in tefillin, arba minim, v'chule, all these different things in which the rules are clearly written out for you. Right, when we speak about hider mitzvah, right, there's different levels. When we're talking about menorah or esrogim, right, mahadrim and mahadrim, there's different levels, and we know what to choose from. So therefore, it's much easier. As opposed to, let's say, by kavod, again, there's the mitzvah of kavod, and then there's also an aspect called, let's say, you know, hider mitzvah of kavod. Well, everyone wants to know what exactly is hider mitzvah. I don't even know what the basic mitzvah of kavod is. Let alone hider mitzvah of kavod. In terms of how am I supposed to be mahadir in these types of mitzvahs? So just a point of which I always like to say is that the word hadar appears in the Torah how many times? Does anyone know? The entire Torah, Kol Torah Kula. Twice, in two contexts. One of them is, if you learn Sukkah, Lekachtem Lachem, creates hadar. And we know what exactly is the pshat. We know there's Gemaras and there's Pesukim, right? And this week's Parsha, the Shira, and the right Zekeli Vanveyu. And from there we learn out the concept of Hider Mitzvah. So therefore you see, and I don't, this year, if this is your first year at Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael, if you've ever been to any one of these Arba Minim Shuks, you ever been to Haseah, you see the people that are really, really into it. They bring the magnifying glass. They're checking the esrogim, the bletloch, no bletloch, the mapit, the esrogim, the hadasim, the aravos, the lulavim. Very, very makbit. Make sure there's nothing, you know, they've got to be the best of the best. Why? Because of hadar. What about the other time where it says hadar in the Torah? The hadar de b'pnei zaken, honoring, respecting the elders, the leaders of our generation. You ever see people how medactic sometimes they're on kavod? The pshat is that they're not. It's unclear why there's a certain amount of lax, or there's a certain amount of rifyon that exactly is going on when we're talking about, let's say, being mechabed, other human beings and kol shekein gedolei Yisrael. So this idea, I'd like to drive home always is that this concept of kavod, it's about the first step is understanding what exactly do I have to do in order to be mechabit others, and once we're there, don't sell yourself short, don't just settle. There's inyan of hider mitzvah. It's very nice, both in terms of, you know, the kavod, just in terms of the way, in terms of you're supposed to be mechabe, and also what it does on a beinad mechaber level, how a person feels when, you know, we always like to say, you know, everyone's supposed to run away from kavod. The pshat is why? Because that's not that we're not supposed to like kavod. Kavod is very, very gishmak. Certainly, with someone you feel good, when you get certain honor, certain respect, it feels great. You shouldn't chase after it, but, you know, if it comes to us, okay, you take some kavod. If a friend gives you cover, they're going to say, oh, I don't want cover. It's like you're just fighting back and forth. Take the cover. No, you take the cover. You're not going to get anywhere. But the aspect is, in terms of the way a person's supposed to give cover, you shouldn't sell yourself short. So I've kind of idea number one. Idea number two, go a little bit backwards in the parsha. Kriyas Yamsuf. There's a famous medrash that says that at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, we know Nachsha ben Aminadav jumped in, and all of a sudden the sea split. And at that time, the Medrash says that every other sea in the world also split at that time. The rest of the world, the Atlantic, the Mediterranean, the Pacific, every single ocean, every single sea, every single body of water ended up splitting. So the question, though, you know, is the point of Kriyas Yom Sof was in order to, I guess, perform a miracle in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal himself. You know, hey, world, hey, Mitzrayim, hey, Jews, I am God, I can perform miracles, and, you know, so believe in me. So, but the obvious question is, I don't understand. So what was going on with the entire Eser Makos? That wasn't enough of a raya? God turned the entire Nile River into blood in a heartbeat? All of a sudden you had frogs all over? A snap of a finger, lice? He decided, and then all of a sudden he decided to bring the entire Bronx Zoo to Mitzrayim? Killing animals in a second? Fire and ice? Mother Nature to the max? Ar Bechoshech? Complete pitch black, even during the day, and then just decided to kill specifically firstborn sons. All that, was that not a clear raya to whether to be to the Mitzrayim or to the Jews that there is an Elohim in the world, that there is an Eberster, there is a Bashefer that's out there that's sort of running this place. So what exactly is going on? And then we know that they ended up getting out of the after they ended up crossing the Yom Suf and the waters came crashing down on the Egyptians. They were about to start the Shira. And we know the pasuk says Perek Yadal pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayar Yisrael siyat hagdolah. They saw Hashem's great hand. Asher asah Hashem in Mitzrayim. Vayu amas Hashem. And right. And then all of a sudden they saw Hashem. Vayaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdo. They believed in him, and then they believed that all they had emunas Hashem. They also had emunah in Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, again. So what exactly is the chiddush? What exactly was HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechadish? All of a sudden now it's been confirmed. We believe in God. What about the whole? What about the whole parsha? What about Vayera Bo? All these Makos? All of a sudden they were all flying out. They left with pride, from rags to riches. So what exactly was this? What was the Chashmak trying to be mechadish here? So the Beis Halevi, Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik from Brisk, Reb Chaim Brisker's father, the Brisker Rav's grandfather, and Rav Soloveitchik from YU Zatzal's great grandfather, explains that up until now, Bnei Yisrael had what? Emunah and Hashem, but only on an aspect of Yira. Why? They only knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu from one perspective. They knew God was able to destroy the world through Nisim and Niflos. God was able to be destructive. He can ruin the water, he can make it blood. Just destroy crops, destroy people's lives, destroy people's cattle, left and right. They weren't able to see the aspect that God can, you know, do positive things through Nisim and through miracles. They never understood, you know, that actually God, in addition to, you know, his might and his strength to punish, he also has a solid chill, right? And to a certain extent, God loves us, and God wants to help us, and he can do that through Nisim and Niflos. But Bnei Yisrael was never exposed to that. So the Beis Halevi explains that after Kriyas Yom Sof, at that point Bnei Yisrael was able to, you know, finally realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu was able to influence them in all aspects of life, both in terms of Yiras Hashem and even Avos Hashem. And therefore, what's the clear cut raya that this wasn't Yira? At the end, what did they do? They started singing. That's the Shira. Oz Yashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael. That they're singing. Why? Because we believe in Hashem on an aspect that we love God. That we now believe in Hashem and we're thanking Hashem because He can do Nisim and Niflos to our benefit. Not only regarding to the destruction of the world, but rather to the positive construction and the positive advancement of the world. That exactly was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing. Nowadays, This is one of the biggest challenges which Judaism faces nowadays. The recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in both aspects. in the Ava aspect and also in the Yira aspect. It's almost like they have the discussion between the proper balance of Ava and Yira. In Hashkafa they speak about this a lot. You have like the Chassid watches like the Super Bowl, let's say tonight. Super Bowl is tonight. It's a football game between the Chiefs and the 49ers. The Chiefs and the 49ers. So you have the Chassid, he watches. The game ends very late. And he ends up going to sleep very, very late. And he wakes up a little tired. Krishma, I love God. I want to sleep. I want to be able to say Krishma when I'm the most rested. I want to show God how much I love Him. I don't want to show up tired to davening. So I'm gonna say Krishma whenever I want. We obviously know there's certain issues with that. In terms of there's something called Zman Krishma. To show up to wake up 1 o'clock in the afternoon and decide to say Krishma is a bit problematic. Mitzachini, you have the Lidvaka on the other hand, who, let's say, doesn't watch the Super Bowl tonight. Comes the alarm, has to say Krishma by this amount of time. To a certain extent, doesn't even matter what the words are. It's just I have a watch, and I just have to know. I have to say Hashem Elokecha Memes before 8:38. Let's say, that's what the time is. Okay, he might be making the Zman Kriya Shema, but is he fulfilling the overall? Is he even thinking about, let's say, you know, the fact you have to, you know, Zecher Tzias Mitzrayim, or is he just a man on the clock? So we see that we see this also panning out Bismanaza in every aspect in all aspects in life, having that proper balance between Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, and exactly believing in our Kodesh Baruch. And Lemaisa, what exactly are we supposed to do? We don't have that Kriyas Yamsuf here. We don't have, you know, Kriyas Yamsuf may go down as probably the greatest miracle in Jewish history. So, you know, where do we see how that Kriyas Yamsuf? I was just believing that Kodesh Baruch. We don't have those open miracles. So the Mechilta brings down and he says that Emuna in Moshe is equal to Emuna in Kodesh Baruch. And Bezmanenu, Emuna in Moshe, what are we talking about? Emuna in Chacham. Having faith in our Talmidei Chacham is very, very important. The derech in which they put us on, sometimes they don't give us the exact reasons, but it's still very, very important to have emunah in them, because ultimately, you know, they really control the path, because they're what we call shluchei derabbanan and shluchei derachmana. They're emissaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they will help us lead on that path again to balance the Avos Hashem, the Yiras Hashem, moving forward. So that's kind of idea number two. Idea number three I want to go back to is, again, towards the end of the parasha, dealing with Amalek. Says the Pasuk Perek Yitzayin Pasuk Ches, Vayavu Amalek Vayilachem Im Yisrael B'Refidim. The battlefield is in Refidim. What's the significance of Refidim? Why did the Torah need to mention Refidim? What exactly is the pshat? What's so significant about Refidim? So I want to offer 2.5 mahalchim, and then bring home a yesod. One mahalach is Rashi. Says Rashi on the spot, pasaches. Mashal le'adam shehirkiv bino al ksofo v'yatzal aderech. There's a story. A person is carrying his little boy on his shoulders. Just a side point. You want to get close with the rabbanim. If they have little kids, try to become boys with them. Carry them on your shoulders. It comes a long way. Hayosa ben roa chifetz. So the child is on the father's shoulders. The omer avo tol chifetz zeh. He says, Abba, can you bend down on the ground and get me that toy and give it to me? V'tainli who knows say lo and give it to me in the rain. He gives it to him. V'chein shnia, a second request. That the little boy asks from the father, and he fulfills the request. The chen shlishis and so on. Pagu ba'adam echad. All of a sudden, the father's walking right with the son on the shoulders, and they meet someone else in the street. Amar lo oso aben. The boy now says to the person that they meet in the street, Ra'ita et Abba. have you seen my father? I have no idea where he is. I haven't seen him these days. Amar lo aviv. All of a sudden, the father hears this. He looks up at his kid and he says, "Ein cha yodeh heichan ani? You didn't know that I was there, where I was the whole time?" And the father gets very flustered and angry. And at that moment, hashlichu me'alav, the father throws the boy off of his shoulders, ubaha kelev v'nashka. Then the dog comes and bites him. So this is exactly what happened here in Refidim, adds Rashi. We sort of forgot about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a while. HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed a lot of miracles for us. He was carrying us on his shoulders through the entire process of Golos and through the entire process of the Geula, through the Yam Suf. And what happened? We got to Refidim. Hey, who's this guy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Where is he? And God says, "Hello, I'm right here. You know, you forgot about me? Oh, I'll show you. If you don't think you know me?" All of a sudden he sent Amalek over there. That's where they were vulnerable. That's one mahalach on that. The Mechilta brings another mahalach. Refidim is the lashon of what? Rafu yedeya min haTorah. They were laxed in their limud haTorah. They were chill. They weren't learning seriously. And this is and the Mechilta says is that when we learn with hasmad and amelus, when we toil, when we learn with diligence, it's impossible to get close to us. Our enemies can't attack us, both in terms of our physical enemies, both in terms of the Amalek nowadays, our cousins around here in Eretz Yisrael, they can't touch us if we're learning with amelus and with hasmad. So both meaning our physical our enemies can't get us, but however, if we do have that rifyon, if we do have that lax, and we're not on that level of real intense learning, not only is our physical enemy going to get to us, but also quote unquote our spiritual enemy, we become vulnerable also to our yetzahara. Our yetzahara is able to sneak in, is able to attack us, which is a tremendous which Rachman Litzlan can be very detrimental. The Orach Chaim also adds that Moshe chose Yoshua to be the future leader, right? Because the pasuk says in Parshas Vayakel, Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph, Lo Yamish Mitocha Oel. He never left the tent. What's the pshat in the tent? The tent symbolizes what? A makum Torah. Yoshua never left. Yoshua was never laxed. Yoshua always learned. And since he always learned, he was able to be a leader. No one was able to come close to him. No one was able to attack him and bring him down. He was a successful leader. And the yisod that I want to bring home tonight from this mahalach is actually connected to the first two ideas which we spoke about tonight. Is again, right, the idea of that we spoke about, you know, kavod for others, kavod for Hashem, and also kavod haTorah, and also the idea of emunah in Hashem. And that's exactly what's going on here. That again, even though we have this war with Amalek, how exactly, right? Is because again, we were laxed. You have to understand that what? That the kiyum, the existence of Yadus of Judaism, is solely dependent on our Amunah in Hashem, and also solely dependent on what? The Kavanah Torah that we have. If we do have that Kavanah Torah, if we do have that Amunah in Hashem, and when we're intense and we're serious about our learning, whether it be day in and day out, whether during the storm, or you hop a couple minutes here, but not again, not in Lavdafka in terms of the quantity, both, but ideally in the quality. When a person sits down here every Seder, if it's a certain level of rifyon, of lax, we become vulnerable to the outside world, to the Yetzara. But if when a person sits down here and he's ready to roll with hasmada and amelus, then it's called really fulfilling that which Judaism expects from us. Shkoyach, have a great night.